As the global pandemic continues, some clear patterns are emerging. More than a third of Washington State's COVID-19 patients have been Latino. This is greatly out of proportion to their share of the general population, which is just 13%. KNKX's Simone Elisea brings us the story of one Latino couple, Tomas and Antonia, and their experience with the virus.
By the time Tomas Lopez died of COVID-19 on April 2nd, social distancing had taken hold in Washington. But we did not yet know the disparate effects this disease was having on the state's Latino population. With the help of an interpreter, Mercedes D'Antona, I spoke to Tomas's wife, Antonia Zamorano. Antonia tells me she met Tomas more than 20 years ago in Hidalgo, in central Mexico.
So I met him in my hometown. He was working, clearing brush from land, and he came to clear my grandfather's land, and that's how I met him, and we became boyfriend and girlfriend.
They dated for a few months before Tomas came to the U.S. for the first time. He returned to Mexico about a year and a half later to marry Antonia. After the wedding, they came to the U.S. together. They settled in Pacific, Washington, just south of Auburn. Tomas went to work in construction.
After we came to the U.S., I had no kids. I had nothing to do at home. So I would cook food and I would bring it to him wherever he was working at.
She'd make salsa verde, mole, tamales, and of course, tacos. Soon his coworkers wanted some, so Antonia would cook for them. Then the neighbors, so she brought them food too. That's how Tacos El Tajín was born. The family now owns two trucks and a restaurant in Algona. Tomas gained a little bit of fame a few years ago when a propane tanker overturned on I-5. The backup lasted for hours and people were getting hungry. So Tomas started slinging tacos, as captured by this video that was widely shared at the time.
This is how close I am to where they closed the freeway. And I can smell tacos.
This, Antonia says, is how Tomas was. She would cook while Tomas dealt with the customers.
And, you know, he loved to talk to people. He loved to share with people. He was very friendly. He was very sociable.
As the business grew, they had three kids. Along with Tomas's two other children from a previous relationship, Tacos El Tajín became a family affair.
He was always with us as a family. The kids, myself, were the most important thing for him.
What's remarkable about the way Antonia tells me the story of Tomas getting sick is she puts a date to nearly every event.
Well, the first thing that happened was that we got the flu on March 1st.
This was one day after public health officials announced the first death from COVID-19 in the United States, when we knew community spread was happening here. Antonia took Tomas to the hospital because she had heard about the coronavirus, and she wondered if that's what he had. But he wasn't tested then, and they went home.
So about a week and a half later, by March 8th, I took him to the hospital again because he couldn't breathe really well. And they said to him that his lungs were clean and that he was experiencing flu-like symptoms. So we went back home.
How did you feel after that second visit?
So I felt more confident because they kept saying, don't worry. But he even had bruising in his stomach because he was coughing so much.
We don't know why Tomas wasn't tested at this point, but this was early in the pandemic. Testing supplies were even more limited than they are now, and patients seeking a test had to check a lot of boxes when it came to their symptoms. It's also worth noting that their second visit was about a week before the state started issuing restrictions on restaurants and other businesses. So Antonia and Tomas kept working. She says nobody told them specifically to stop, and they had to keep going to support the family.
Yes. We kept working till March 22nd, and he stopped going to Seattle to sell because he wasn't feeling well, so I would go by myself.
That lasted for two more days until Antonia also started getting sick. She tried to get Tomas to go back to the hospital, but she says he didn't want to. He expected the doctors to tell them the same thing they had before.
Then on March 27th, I saw that he was getting worse and worse. And I said, Tommy, let's go to the hospital. And he said to me, go to the restaurant and bring me the computer because we had to file the sales report by the 28th for the month of February.
So wait, so one of the last things he did before going to the hospital was getting all your paperwork and payroll in order?
Yes. Before he left.
At this point, you take him to the hospital. What happens then?
So we went to the hospital. We got in. And he went in. I was not allowed in after we explained how he was feeling. And that was the last time I saw him. I was able to give him a kiss on the cheek, and then they took him to a room, and I was not allowed in.
The week that Tomas was in isolation, Antonia says she was distraught. She says she felt like she never knew what the doctors were doing when he was being sedated or intubated. She says she was the one calling the hospital to check and see how he was. On March 31st, a nurse was able to connect Tomas and Antonia through FaceTime. Tomas couldn't talk, but Antonia was able to talk to him.
Ella también me hizo favor de ponerme el teléfono en su oído de él para que yo hablara con él. Y lo pude ver a mi esposo ahí, sin poder jugarse.
And I was able to see him for the first time. He put his phone to his ear so I could talk to him. And I was able to see that he was on that bed, that he couldn't move. The doctor said that he was doing well, that he was responding well, that his lungs were at 80%.
Then, on Thursday morning, April 2nd, Antonia says she got a call that Tomas was taking a turn for the worse. They connected again via FaceTime, and Antonia said goodbye.
Que ya, ellos pensaban que ya no iba a resistir más.
So we were in that FaceTime call for about an hour. I was really praying to God. And around 10:30, I was told that he was almost gone and there was nothing they could do for him.
Tomas died at age 44. Antonia and her mother also tested positive for COVID-19. Her mother even spent some time in the hospital, but she recovered. Antonia says no one else in the family seems to have gotten sick. Life since Tomas's death has been difficult and uncertain. It was more than 2 weeks before Tomas's family was able to see his body and lay it to rest. The trucks and the restaurant were shuttered for weeks. They began selling food again for takeout earlier this month, but business is slow, and it sounds like Antonia is still not sure how to run it all without Tomas.
Estoy con mis hijos tomándome un tiempo aquí, tratando de ubicarme, tratando de asimilar.
While I am trying to find my way, you know, try to really accept what happened and to think about the future, I don't know.
Porque él era el motor de este hogar.
He was the engine, the motor for this home, for everything. And he should not have been gone. I just need him so much. You know, there is so much I would love to say to him.
Do you know what the business, what the future of the business will look like, even vaguely?
Well, my kids are really supporting me because at the restaurant, I was just cooking everything and driving the other taco truck. Tommy was in charge of getting the permits, paying the bills, going to the store. I don't know anything about that. I don't speak English, but my kids keep telling me that we can do it and that we're going to be able to get ahead and survive.
Do you believe them?
Yes.